This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But talking about the atmosphere the Cavaliers will see when they get to Conseco Fieldhouse, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, whatever it's being called this year.
Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you ever been there?
It's a phenomenal building.
It is.
It's a phenomenal building.
Maybe my favorite.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
And the thing that's cool about it is that, among other things, like our arena is an absolute pit. And it's an oval, you know, where our seats are. And they're stacked.
Pit in a good way. I know what you're saying, though.
I was going to say, pit as in how it is built, not that it's
a poor arena. No. It's our facility is great.
Fantastic.
It's amazing how well it's been maintained.
Not
over
in the way
years.
That your mother used to walk into your room and go, "This is a pit."
It's a pit. It's a pit in this way. Seats are so close to the floor, and then straight up. In our building, you're on top of the floor. It's really good. In the field house in Indianapolis, it's kind of squared off on the corners, like in the old school field house, like in the Butler field house, it's just a great environment. And those folks know their basketball, like our folks do.
They do.
It's really cool.
If I could interject for 1 second, I got spoiled. I covered the Heat Pacers series, I want to say 2011. I think it was LeBron's. Does that sound right? Yeah. LeBron's first year there, right? So the AP seat was on the baseline, and it literally made a 90-degree corner at the end of the Heat bench. Yeah. So I was literally, I had Juwan Howard looking at my copy as I was writing it because he was the last guy on the bench. And he was interjecting.
Was he reading?
He was giving me editing and writing tips throughout the game. In fact, at one point, I can't remember who the Pacer was that had carried the ball. And Juwan said, "That guy does that on every play. Put that in your damn story."
That's funny.
Yeah, great place to watch a basketball game.
It really is. Off-season storylines just going nuts right now, by the way, with the Cavs during the season here. Browns off-season stuff, it never ends. Quarterback competition. make sure you don't miss a minute of the Fan with all of this stuff going on. Latest breaking news, everything during your workday. If you're out on the go, you can stream us at 923thefan.com. or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. I thought Spiro was outstanding. He would try to run the offense more through Jared Allen. I think that's something that might be something they have to do, especially if guys are out. We're going to touch on that in a minute. Ralph's in Mentor. Ralph, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Ralph.
Well, Jeff and Tom, I'm just wondering about officiating in the NBA as opposed to baseball and football. And is there a different set of rules in the NBA for calling fouls in the playoffs? I keep hearing, "Oh, it's the playoffs. Let them play rough." And they told Kenny, "Oh, I didn't see that." No, I didn't see that. What the hell is going on here with these officials?
Ralph, a good voice there. I like the way you did that one. it used to be awful in the NBA playoffs. I mean, it became wrestling, and I don't believe that's the case anymore. There's maybe a little more physicality, Tom.
I would agree. It's a slower whistle as well, right? They're a little more go.
A little more let them play.
And why that becomes exacerbated last night, if that's the right word, is that you had a Cavs team that was holding on for dear life down the stretch, and they were tired and fatigued, and the Pacers took advantage of it by clutching and holding and grabbing and being as aggressive as they could be, knowing that they were going to get that slower whistle down the stretch of a playoff game. You know, Tony Brothers has not been kind to the Cavs, it feels like. And oh, by the way, Does he officiate every single playoff game?
Yes.
It seems like every time I turn around,
there's Tony.
It's a Tony Brothers game.
Well, and he's one of those. He's gotten into the Angel Hernandez, CB Buckner, yeah. that whole group where you see him walk out of the floor and you're like, oh boy, we're going to have an evening. Yeah,
like Joey Crawford used to be. And, mm-hmm. and not that Joey was a bad official, because he wasn't. Joey was actually a good official. But I remember back in the day, and if you remember Joey Crawford, if you were a road team, and oh, yeah. Joey Crawford was officiating your game, you knew you were going to get a fair shake. And if you were a home team, you thought, uh-oh, Joey's here. We're not going to get yeah. the home calls we're going to get.
Yeah, Tony's become kind of the new Scott Foster, too, right?
Yeah.
There was always
yeah.
that. Yeah. yeah. And then people start to figure out, okay, here's this team's record when he's officiating or not. Listen, I think on a whole, and I say this as a newly ordained basketball official.
Well.
They're the only guys on the – they're the only group on the floor – that is held to a standard of perfection. Now, listen,
yeah.
you could sit there and dissect that game last night, and there were some calls that went against the Cavs. There were some calls that went their way. I thought Donovan, you know, there were a couple calls I thought where he was awarded with free throws that I didn't necessarily think that he should have been. So that's going to balance out on a whole. Now, I just think because of the way the game unfolded down the stretch that there's a lot more scrutiny about the calls, and maybe rightly so.
I watched Joey Crawford officiate a game one time. And it was during the Cavs LeBron era with Joe Smith, Delonte West, and I love that crew.
Right.
But before the games, they used to do this whole thing where they posed for fake pictures, you know, along yeah. the bench, and somebody would be out there with, you know, just like an air camera, and they're posing and doing these pictures, and the other team is on the floor ready for the jump ball. Joey is in the center circle with the ball. And I'm sitting courtside.
I can see this right now.
I'm sitting courtside, and I said to my buddy Gary sitting next to me, I said, gee, look at this. Look at Joey. And Joey is staring down the Cavs as they're taking all these fake pictures and doing all the posing and everything else.
Right, right.
And I thought, oh, this is gonna get ugly.
Yeah.
He throws the ball up for a tip within like a minute. Boom. Foul. Cavaliers. He called like three fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game, and I thought, well, they won't be taking pictures when Joey's here anymore.
Hey, and you know, in fairness to Tony Brothers too, he teed up the Pacers bench last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, he
and,
did.
You know, as Spiro mentioned,
and that was a tough call.
And as Spiro mentioned during the broadcast, he was staring down that bench as well. Like, I've had enough out of you guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, credit to him there. It's funny, you know, Jeff, you reminded me, and I brought this up before on the air here. That I've mentioned, and I know people don't want to hear about the Celtics today, but that Celtics City documentary on HBO is worth your time. It's
yeah.
really good. What they chronicle in that is the 1976 finals where referee Richie Powers
yeah.
fights a fan on the floor. The fan comes on the floor. In, it's that triple overtime game against the Suns.
Yeah.
And Richie Powers is in a swing fest with a Boston fan at midcourt. And there were also fouls in that game that you would probably be arrested for nowadays that were just like, play on, let's go.
That's so funny.
No video replay, so no funny. Nothing.
Cool Ray's in Bedford. Cool Ray, welcome, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man? I love that game, and I'm going to tell you guys why. The only reason the Cavs lost both games is because effort. And it's not saying throughout the game. It's that now people like Dean Wade, Miro, Okoro, they have to step up at the very end. The first game, when the Cavs played like crap, they still had an opportunity to pull it off. But someone had to step up. Yesterday's game, no matter how great you guys or the national media is trying to make Halliburton, game came down to an inbound. We couldn't inbound the ball. That's all it came down to. And every team plays through their stars. Except the Cavs, we have technically four stars on our team. Just, you know, two of them is hurt. So I have no problem. As long as they keep playing defense, but now people like Mero, you can't go dry. I don't know what's going on with Dean Wade. He needs to start stepping up way more.
Dean took only four shots last night, and he was out there for 30 minutes. Yeah, I don't mind Dean shooting the ball. I want him to.
He's got to make the shots, especially when you're wide open. See, this is how your presence affects what's going on. As long as they keep playing the defense that they played yesterday, don't forget this team has shown the ability to win 15, 13, 12 games in a row. All they really got to do is win two games in a row to get the pressure off of them. You don't want to go down 2-1 in no way. You want to go come back 2-2 if, you know, and then reset your charges. But even if, you know, our guys are still out, all they got to do is play the same defense, same way, and we're going to win that game. This came down to just us not – because teams are going to make runs. We've seen teams come back from 20 points down. That's not nothing new in the NBA in the three-point shot. That's nothing. So you just got to do that one, that last inch. That's what. That's the difference between winning the championship and going home. And I think they just learned that.
All right, Cool Ray.
I think I heard some optimism there from Cool Ray, right? There was a hint of it there. You know, let's get back to the late game situations have been a bugaboo for me
for
a couple of months now.
Yeah,
and what I feared was the Cavs didn't play in many of these types of games, did they?
They blew out a lot of teams.
They blew out a lot of teams, and it felt like the games that they were in these kinds of situations, they weren't always real sharp down the stretch. And I think back to that game in March against Orlando where they blew a lead in the final minute.
Yeah.
Same kind of problems. Inability to inbound the ball. You know, we talk about the bad pass that Strus makes late in the game. The one that sets up the Mitchell offensive foul is equally bad in terms of, now it's Donovan's fault as well. You can't throw the ball up the sideline in that situation. You're playing right into the defense's hands. So, yeah.
Late and that's game, where he was called for the foul that they thought might be a flagrant.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about late game situations. It's making free throws. It's boxing out. It's doing all those little things that add up to a win or a collapse.
The coaches talk about forever, and you think, man, that's not a big deal. Yeah. Nope, sometimes
it is. Yeah.
Yep. Joe's in D.C. Joe.
How you guys doing, man?
All right, Joe.
I just want to give a reminder. Last year, Jared Allen got hurt with bad ribs, and there was a whole lot of questions about was he tough enough? Could he have played with bad ribs? It was a whole big every time they kept saying
Marcus Morris, right?
Yeah,
he really came out later and said he should have been out there.
Right now we got all these guys hurt. Darius Garland been out for 2 weeks. Nobody is asking this. Can he really play? You know, because they need him. Obviously, like they needed Jared Allen last year. Now you got Mobley out. He may be out multiple games. Hunter out. So. You know, last year it was all about Jared Allen and his rib injury, and he could have played, he can't play. Can Darius Garland really play, or what? Nobody's really comparing it to last year playoff run when Allen was hurt compared to Darius Garland being hurt. We don't know how long Mobley and Hunter's going to be out, and also I think Amani Bates should have been on this roster. They need some points.
Joe, thanks. I'm not going to Amani Bates. He's not the answer. And I know Amani's got some fans. That's wonderful for him. But he's not the answer in this series.
He can help the charge.
216-474. Tom Withers with a shot. 0092.
Sorry,
I like Amani. Yeah, he's an interesting young player, but he's not.
Not ready for the Pacers. No.
Nope, not ready for the Pacers. Bob Finan's going to join us at noon. More of your phone calls coming up next. Plus, we have a baseball team that put up 18 runs in two games yesterday. How'd that happen? It's Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy today.